You have a heart. And God wants it to be untroubled today, even in this troubled world. Don't let your heart be too troubled. We're learning together how to live with an untroubled heart. I'm going to invite you, while we're going through this series, to live on what a friend of mine, Mike Woodruff, new friend, calls the 10-10-10 plan. Spend 10 minutes a day, no more, watching the news. I'll explain why in a little bit. 10 minutes or so here at Become New, doing something to immerse yourself in God's Word. And then 10 minutes talking to God, 10 minutes in prayer. And then if you want to, add 1 hour a week serving to help make a difference in this troubled world.
What did
Am
you
I
get
enough?
Enough?
Wait, did I respond?
Oh my gosh. Many in this earth are you not just causing me anxiety?
I'm such a failure.
What actually
Here's where we start today. All of us have an anxious question. What does the future hold for me? Anxiety says the future holds uncertainty. The news generally says the future holds danger. Jesus has another message. Dallas Willard writes in The Divine Conspiracy, "Those who have apprenticed themselves to Jesus learn an undying life with a future as good and as large as God himself. The experiences we have of this life as his co-conspirators now fill us with anticipation of a future so full of beauty and goodness we can hardly imagine." And this all comes from what Jesus says in these magnificent words we're walking through, John 14 and 15, when Jesus says, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." And then goes on, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Now, when Jesus says these remarkable words, he's speaking on a very troubled day. We're invited to reflect in this series each day on how troubled has my day been, 1 to 10. And how much peace has my heart known, 1 to 10. And what might this teach me? Now, on this day, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross to be crucified. How much trouble do you think his day was facing? And what he's calling his friends to is not a trouble-free life. It's a trouble-free heart in the midst of a terribly trouble-filled world. And he makes this beautiful promise. Ray Vanderlaan talks about how the imagery is actually taken from the bridal situation in ancient Israel when a bride and a groom were going to get married. Then the groom and his family would pay the bride price. You'd be known as one who was bought at a price. And he would go to his father's house and he would add on to it more rooms for his new family. They were kind of communal, kind of compound deals back then, known as an insala. We think about insulation. It's for a Latin word for island. And then when his father determined, yep, it's ready, he would go back and claim his bride, and the one who was bought at a price would go with him. And Jesus is saying, that's something what's going on here. He's talking very clearly about the fact that he is going to die. He's going to be taken from them, and they're going to face great peril themselves. But they can, with confidence, trust because they know that what their future holds is very good, and death itself cannot stop it. Part of what we're learning these days is the call to live with an untroubled heart is not the call to live an insulated or buffered life, quite the opposite. And throughout history, followers of Jesus were able to face death quite fearlessly and talk about it quite openly. Even parents, it used to be, not so much in our day, parents used to pray a prayer with their kids when they would go to sleep. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." There was actually a second verse. I'm not making this up. You imagine saying this prayer with your little child at night when it's bedtime. "Our days begin with trouble here. Our life is but a span. And cruel death is always near. So frail a thing is man. Good night, honey. Pleasant dreams." We don't do that so much in our day. And as a matter of fact, in our day, for the most part, we are driven by what a cultural anthropologist, in a book he wrote about 50 years ago that won the Pulitzer Prize, called The Denial of Death, is our almost obsessive attempts to ignore, evade, escape even thinking about death. This is how this book starts. The prospect of death, Samuel Johnson noted, wonderfully concentrates the mind. The main thesis of this book is that it does much more than that. The idea of death, the fear of it, haunts the human animal like nothing else. It is a mainspring of human activity, activity designed largely to avoid the fatality of death, to overcome it by denying in some way that it is the final destiny for man. Sometime after this, three psychologists, about 1986, began to publish on what they called terror management theory. They said that actually most social conflict is a result of this repressed awareness of death and our fear of annihilation. And there have been hundreds of studies that bear this kind of thing out. It's very striking. Becker himself, the guy who wrote this book, started out his scholarly life as an atheist. In the year that this won the Pulitzer, Becker himself died. And prior to his death, he actually came a believer. He said in his final interview with a guy named Sam Keen, "Now you can see how a philosopher dies. My awakening to the divine had to do with the loss of protective armor." And so his fear of death, told him there is something about life and death to which science and secularism do not have the ultimate answers, but this man Jesus did. And he came not to live a death-free, trouble-free life, but facing it. And facing it, he says, don't let your hearts be too troubled. So the invitation for today is to face every fear. Face every fear, including the ultimate fear, the fear of death, and to invite Jesus into it so that I am not facing it alone. And in particular today, I want to encourage you to invite Jesus into your amygdala. Now, folks in our day who write about troubled hearts and anxiety and worry have quite a lot to say about this particular part of the brain. It's sometimes called the uh-oh center. It's constantly monitoring the world for trouble. It's constantly scanning the world for trouble. It's if you ever see a red light flashing in your rearview mirror or you start to slip when you're on ice, it's the amygdala that will very quickly contact the hypothalamus, which then direct messages the adrenal glands, and then your body will be flooded with adrenaline and cortisol, and you'll be ready for fight or flight or whatever it is. The amygdala is always looking for trouble. If you're ever invited to speak at a conference of psychologists and you want a great joke, just tell them this one. One day an amygdala walks into a bar and the bartender says, "Don't come in here looking for trouble." If you're not a psychologist, you probably don't think that's very funny. I think it's hilarious. Here's the invitation. Ask Jesus to come in. We often think of our heart, but you might think here anatomically of the amygdala, the uh-oh center. Here's what's happening in our day. We are tempted by our spirits, by the evil one, by the culture around us to live in constant worry and fear about what's going on. And of course, our world is full of trouble. But we're also living in a world where we are tempted to be inundated with news about that all the time. Andy Crouch, who's a wonderful thinker, writer, follower of Jesus, makes a couple of really important observations about how we fill our minds. We live in a day when people have always faced trouble, but it used to be there might be a threat. You know, saber-toothed tiger comes up and the amygdala goes into overdrive and you're flooded with adrenaline and you can act and then you have time to recover. Now, the news is constantly telling us 24/7, this is urgent because alarm creates attention. Attention creates ratings. Ratings create money. And that means if I'm in this business, I can keep my job. It's not necessarily sinister, but we were not meant to live in a state of aroused alarm and fear and worry 24/7. And Andy notes, the worse the news, the greater the crisis, the less that we need news and the more we need scripture. World War III breaks out, you're going to know about it. Pandemic comes around again, we're going to know about it. So what it is that we really need is to be immersed in scripture and to become the kind of people who are prepared to deal with whatever it is that's coming our way. So the invitation is, each day as we're going through this series, if I want to live with an untroubled heart, actually limit. Andy also notes, we need to limit our exposure to information about events about which we can't do a thing. So if you're a news anchor, that guy with great hair on network news that my wife likes to watch a lot, well, of course, then you got to be immersed in news. If you're dealing with currency issues and investments, and so you need to keep up with the economic news. But for the most part, for most of us, it might be worth it just to monitor 10 minutes a day to focus on news so that I can fill my mind with something other than be alarmed, be alarmed, be alarmed. And remember again those words of Jesus, in my Father's house are many rooms. My Father loves you dearly. My Father is creating a place for you. Death itself, there's a wonderful line by George Herbert, the poet, where he says, death used to be an executioner, but thanks to the gospel, it's become a gardener. My body will not be buried, just planted. I will come back for you, Jesus says, and take you to be with me so that where I am. See, we all need a future for us to live today. Dallas writes about how our consciousness is created that way. For me to live today, I need to know that I have a future, and I do. I love these words from Lord of the Ring when Sam and Frodo are in the land of Mordor, the land of the shadow, and facing very probable death. We're told, they're peeping among the cloud rack above a dark, high up in the mountains. Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked up out on the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach. And it is that, an unending existence in light and high beauty, that Jesus said, that's what I'm going to work on, and I'm making a way. And that is life with me, and you will be with me forever, and nothing, not death itself, can stop it. The shadow is only a small and passing thing. When Tim Keller, that remarkable thinker, preacher, writer, was dying of cancer, it was those words, those thoughts, that brought him great courage and hope that he spoke from his deathbed. Shadow, only a small and passing thing. Death, it's a gardener, not an executioner. Don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be too troubled. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. We're living in the invited life of the untroubled heart.
Hey, thanks for joining us here at Become New, where you can receive a brief daily teaching each weekday to help you grow spiritually one day at a time. Be sure to hit the subscribe button here on YouTube or at our website, becomenew.com, to make sure that you don't miss any future teachings in the series. Become New is so much more than just a video to receive and watch. It's really a community that you can belong to. So we hope that you'll chime in the comments below, or better yet, join our Facebook group, which you can find the link in the description of this video. I'll be posting a video there each weekday to correspond with the episode for that day with a discussion question. And I would love to have you bring your voice to that conversation. So like I said, you can find that link there, along with the link for our Instagram or our X account. If you just want to receive inspirational quotes and photos throughout the week, you can do that. If you've got a prayer request or you're carrying something heavy, we want you to know that we're here for you and we would love to pray with you. You don't have to carry it alone. So you can text us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. There's a group of us who meet every day to pray over requests sent in by viewers like yourself. So we hope that you do that. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll be seeing you.